whether we're talking about our right to a trial, which, well, can happen in almost any case, whether you're exercising your First Amendment rights or Second Amendment rights. We'll talk about it. Attorney Penny Dean, next on Bulldog Live.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
All right, Bulldog Live, Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean, 1-866-823-1077 here on The Pulse. Hi, Penny.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, boy, been busy covering lots of big things. The lawsuit against the state over the funding for the court system that has left it in shambles. And then we have the Senate Bill 500, the early release of violent sexual predators, i.e. child rapists.
So do you want them moving next door to your two daughters?
No. I want them moving in next door to the governor and every legislator that voted for this thing. Well, most legislators. Some didn't realize what they were doing, and I'm examining that issue, too.
You know what? It's just amazing. People that don't keep up on things are amazed at what happens every day. You know, that's the issue. And I'll have to tell you, this Saturday, we had National Hunting and Fishing Day.
Yes.
And people were asking about you, but let me tell you the craziest thing that happened, okay?
Okay.
They had all these raffle tickets where you could buy and win these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think anything about it. I never buy raffle tickets. I never, ever win, ever. I may as well just hand them my money and burn it, right?
Yeah, right.
So all of a sudden, I looked down, and Teresa, the gal who's with me, there's all this whole pile of tickets in front of me, and I said, what are these and where'd they come from, right?
Uh-huh.
She says, some guy in blue jeans and a red shirt just dropped them in front of you and left. They all had my name pre-filled out and my number.
Really?
On every one of these tickets, right? So I have to say thank you to some unknown person. But it gets funnier. I won something. I won something. I put the little tickets in all these things, and everyone's like, how come you? They said, you never buy tickets. I go, I know I never buy tickets. I never won, but somebody gave these to me, but they pre-filled out my name and number. Wasn't that nice?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. So whoever it was, thank you, because I have no clue who it was, so I didn't get to thank the person.
Aww.
Yeah. And it's cool. But this is our national Keep Your Reputation Clean, because if you're ever in a trial, okay?
Uh-huh.
Any little thing, like in third grade, you cheated on that test paper, they're going to bring it out. You know, any little thing.
Yeah, because you might run for office someday or something
that.
You know?
You could run for office. I hope I never run for office. I just want to be this plain old lawyer.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, have you ever run for office in the past?
Yes.
Oh, my God. It was probably horrible, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, because the bottom line is, you know, I wouldn't mind if people focused on the issues and things that were pertinent, but sometimes what I call the mudslinging,
mm-hmm.
It's dirty mudslinging.
Yes.
It's not like regular mudslinging. And
well, the problem is when they started coming after me, it only bought me more votes. So I was happy, actually. When the newspaper started smearing my name in the editorial page, I'm like, go ahead, keep it up. More people know about me now.
That's a really, really good point, because it helps with name recognition.
Yes, but for most people, it's not a good thing. I didn't have a criminal background or anything like that. It was just the work I was doing at the same time, you know, so what the heck, you know.
Yeah, no, they're always, here's the thing that I found out is many people when they were young, they had maybe one brush with the criminal justice system, and it's a brush that really they shouldn't have had, and had they had money for a lawyer, they might have not had what I call BS charges stick.
Mm-hmm.
However, not everybody when they're young has money for a lawyer or understands that there's public defenders available to them. And so you get sometimes kids out, like I found a story the other day, a guy said when he was younger, him and all these guys used to go walking from one kid's house to another every Friday night and Saturday night. They're all hanging out, right?
Uh-huh.
The police used to stop them and harass them. They're kids, they're poor, they don't know any better, right? One night, the cop happened to be in a particularly foul mood. He charged him with prowling. Okay,
huh?
Now, yeah. Now, they didn't have any illegal possessions on him or stolen property because they weren't doing anything. There were kids going back and forth in the middle of the night between kids' houses. You know how that goes, right?
Right.
So, but at the time, the kid was poor, had no money. He said, oh, it's no big deal. I just plead guilty. They give me a suspended sentence, blah, blah, blah. Well, think about when you're an adult, how that could come back to haunt you. You know, when I say an adult, he's 18 or 19 at the time. When he's 30 or 40, how that can come back to haunt you and make you look like a bad person. So the lesson for today on the Second Amendment is keep your reputation clean. And every little thing like that, fight it, get a public defender, or if you've had those issues in the past, go file a petition to annul or have a lawyer file a petition to annul for you. And here's why. There's all sorts of legal fictions about petitions to annul. And some people who don't know any better say, oh, it totally erases your record and it's gone. That's not entirely true. It raises the level by which people will need to pass a bar to get the information on you. So let's say you had a conviction for prowling when you were 19 and you get the petition annulled. Now, it's technically under the law a misdemeanor to now reveal that information after it's been annulled. However, for certain sentencing purposes and other purposes, courts can look at this quote-unquote annulled conviction. But in New Hampshire, it is a legal removal from that being quote-unquote on your record. And here's the reason this matters. If you're ever involved in a shooting or self-defense situation, if you have these priors within certain parameters of the rules of evidence, the prosecutor can tell the jury about that, and it makes you look like a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the thought is if you're a bad person, you're probably a troublemaker, you probably started this fight, you know, you're probably guilty of what we're charging you with. If you have them annulled and they're gone, it's one less rock they can throw at you. And the reason I say that, there's a gentleman named Eric Scott, and he's from Las Vegas. It's really getting a lot of momentum. He was at a Costco store on July 10th of 2010. And what specifically has happened there is really not known. But his family says they have all these emails that he had a Crackberry and he was texting them while he was walking through the store. He checked out. He and his fiancée were in the store together. They were walking out the store. And what happened next, until we get the unadulterated Costco videos, which his family has been trying to get for a long time, one of the managers there called the police and said that he was being contrary. Now, that's really funny because if he was being contrary, how would he have time to text his family? And he was going on and on about the different sales. And there was no indication in his text or according to his fiancée that there was any problem in Costco. He walks out and three officers, one of them has shot men before in the past 5 years on the force several times, confronted him, all three screaming and yelling at him to do three different things at the same time. And even though, you know, women can multitask, they can't multitask that good. You can only do one thing at a time. The gist of it is they shot this man seven times, some of them in the back. And the problem is,
what was the reason for them shooting him?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. Their reason was he was threatening to them and wasn't complying with their instructions. Well, his fiancée says you have three police officers shouting three different instructions.
Oh, that's always good. You know, I've seen those cases before. I kid you not. There was a case from Baltimore where a kid got his face blown off when he had two police officers, one on each side of his car, and one saying, get out of the other one saying, don't move, and the other one saying, get out of the car. He says, well, I got my seatbelt on. I got to take that off because the law requires me to have it on. And then he says, then they say, no, you can't touch that. Well, get out of the car. Well, I can't. My seatbelt's on. Get out of the car. Boom. There goes his face. You know, the whole kid has his face blown off.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah, exactly. And they're still litigating that today. But anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a really...
I can relate to that. I understand.
Yeah, it's a really horrible thing. Now, Eric Scott's family has repeatedly said that we want these officers indicted. We want them charged. You know, we want some justice for our son. And now they're saying, oh, he was this crazy man. He was a druggie. And they said, well, he was disabled. He was a 1994 U.S. military West Point graduate with an MBA from Duke University. Employed, and was he on a lot of pain medication? Yeah, he was. He had been injured when he was serving in the military. He used to jump out of planes, and when you jump out of planes, as you can imagine, when you hit the ground, sometimes you hit it with a little bit of force.
Mm-hmm.
he'd had some back injuries from that.
Yeah, parachutes aren't marshmallows.
Yeah, parachutes are not marshmallows. So he had a lot of injuries. And so what they're bringing in is, well, he was taking all these medication. Every medication they found in his body was prescribed properly by a doctor.
Okay.
But the issue with this and the illustration that I hope people take from that is that take everything that's ever happened to you, whether it's an altercation with a boss, with an employer, an employee, whatever, and see how someone could twist that, and would you want that brought up at trial? And so I always tell people it's not fair and it's not right, but it's the way it is. So I always try to envision myself living my life under a microscope. If this word right now were put in front of a jury, would I like how it would look for me? And it's like I tell people all the time, the normal thing is to say words you can't say on the radio, get away from me, bad person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really better for a jury to hear, sir, you're threatening me, please step away. No, that isn't what we want to say at that time. But it's really the thing that you want people hearing, because in this particular instance, the
sir, put down that knife. Don't make me shoot you. Can you say that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You know, don't make me defend my life is better, though.
Oh, that's better.
Don't
yes.
make me defend my life, because it's like you're just itching to shoot him. And so I always tell people,
because think of this, as you and you and I have had this discussion before, and it's probably worth having again in the next couple of weeks, and that is there's more ear witnesses than there are eyewitnesses.
In every situation, you'll hear people, and like human beings, you have 10 disinterested people who hear exactly the same thing, but they actually report it in 10 different ways because they filter it. They're human beings, mm-hmm. and it's not that anybody's lying. They just simply filter it differently. And what you don't want is if you're using potty words, which I'm famous for using, you don't want those potty words coming out, because some people think, well, if you're a potty mouth, you're also a bad person. You know, you also behave poorly. You know, you don't behave honorably, and you probably started an altercation.
Right, you grow up on a fishing boat? How dare you, you know?
And I'm the queen of using potty words, you know? The queen, and I have to be careful, because sometimes when I'm court, I think, knock on wood, I've never been fined, because I've stopped myself every time. But sometimes you just want to say something. Like, one time I wanted to say, will you get your panties out of a bunch? And I presumed that that wouldn't have went over well.
And I understand. And it's stuff that we all have to train ourselves mentally on. You know, you say, what would you do if, you know, and that's kind of what I do every day, too. It's like, what if, you know, you're in a confrontation, not you can ever, you know, prepare yourself for it all the time for every situation. But, you know, what the heck? It's like, oh, let's say you're a reporter showing up on a scene of an accident and you try to take pictures. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you don't want your camera seized from you?
Right, uh-huh. Been yeah. there. I've been there. But anyway, it's all good stuff. And what about traffic tickets? You know, can they pull that up in a case, too?
Well, you know what? Certain types, let's say it's a... let's say it's driving. There's a lot of what's called, the only way to describe them is bad driving cases.
Like reckless driving?
Reckless app.
Road rage or whatever they call that, aggressive driving?
Absolutely. There's a whole pile of what they call them, quote-unquote, dangerous driving tickets, okay? They're what I call the high pointers, and they can actually get you certified as a habitual offender in this state, which can be felon level.
Conduct now, after an accident, things like that, I'm guessing?
Absolutely. There's a whole what I call laundry list. I call them the points, and this is a game where your goal is to get as few points as possible, not the most points as possible.
Yeah, right.
You know, my goal is I have no points and I want to remain point-free.
Uh-huh.
And so I tell people all the time, should any of those things, because a lot of times when you get pulled over, if you don't get pulled over quick enough, they charge you with disobeying a police officer.
Or eluding or something like that.
Absolutely. And so here's the thing that always surprises people, and it particularly makes scientists crazy. One in one is always two in the world of math, okay? And there are certain chemical reactions. If you put chemicals together in these given situation with these parameters, you're always going to have this reaction. In law, that doesn't happen. There's what's called the rules of evidence. And the rules of evidence, you read them and they're kind of squishy. Yeah, I think they're darn squishy. Because you get 10 judges and give them the same 10 fact patterns, and you apply the rules of evidence, and in my opinion and experience, you don't get the same results.
Huh.
Now, you're supposed to, okay? There's theory and there's reality. And here's what I tell people. Judges are human. Just like everybody else, their daughter came home with a piercing in her nose that pissed them off this morning. You know, all sorts of things. And so I call it sometimes the breakfast theory of justice. The better judges, to the best of their human ability, put the fact aside that their wife just bought a brand new car they didn't want them to buy or whatever, and come in and do their job. But other of them are human. And like I said, they're pissed off at their teenage daughter who got a ring in her nose that day.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in, and they do not apply, at least in my opinion, the rules of evidence as academically as they should be applied sometimes. And so what you get is you can have cases overturned on appeal, but here's what I tell people. I've done appellate work, and I love doing appellate work, and it's fine, but if you're the person who goes to trial, you want to win at trial, because if you're convicted and the judge won't stay in imposition of a prison sentence while you appeal, do I, as a law-abiding person, want to be sentenced to 3 years in Concord? Well, I'm a girl. I'd go to Goffstown. But, you know, do I want to be sentenced there? I don't particularly.
I got you. Penny, let's pause right there. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live on Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean on The Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages live on The Pulse.